Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Happy Mother's Day. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. I'd like to start by just giving a giant hand to all the moms that are here. Can we honor them? Come on. Honor them. Come on, really clap your hands. We love you. We thank you, moms. I thank my wife for being an awesome mom. My mom at home, who might be watching up in Pennsylvania. You are a gift from God, moms. I don't know if you always remember that, but you are changing the world because you are shaping all of these lives. Thank you for what you do. We are so very grateful. We're going to today hear a short little message for just 5 minutes or so, maybe 10, and then I'm going to invite some moms up. And we're not just going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about lessons that apply to every aspect of all of our lives. And so I want to invite all of you to kind of put your antennas up in the posture to receive from God. And then we're going to pray at the end. We're also going to take a moment, as we've kind of alluded to already in this service, to really pray for those who experience a lot of pain on Mother's Day. There's heightened joy for many. There's heightened pain for many. We're going to talk a little bit about how we grieve before God, and that is part of how we follow Jesus. The title of the message today is actually Inheriting Blessing Even When Suffering. And the reason that's the title is because we're studying through the book of 1 Peter right now, and this is the text that we're on. So I'm going to share some opening principles as we look at the text, and then it's going to flow us right into this panel. And again, this applies to all of us and can also be read in the context of parenting, mothering, and fathering. So if you have your Bible, turn in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through 15. It will be on screen, but we're encouraging people to bring their Bibles. You can also turn there on your phone. I actually forgot my readers today. I used them for the first time last week. I'm embracing my 40s, and I am praying that God touches my eyes and gives me that 20/20 again, but it hasn't happened yet. Can you guys pray with me? I don't know. But I forgot my readers today, so bear with me if I just skip a word or something like that, or if I read slow. But this part of this book is called Suffering for Doing Good. That can be motherhood sometimes. Can I get an amen? Motherhood can be beautiful. It is beautiful. It can also be very challenging. And in life, we do face challenges. So we're going to learn about how God has called us to endure, how to run our race and finish our race, even when we go through suffering. Here's what the Word of God says. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit. Again, I don't have my readers on. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Thank you. Okay, I need to explain what just happened, because now I'm embarrassed. No, don't give me those readers. Take them down. The way that it's worded in my Bible is inherit has a hyphen, and it says inherit-it. So I kept saying inherit and then looking for another it. I was saying you may inherit it a blessing, but it's inherit a blessing. Let me reread the second part of that text. Come on, give me encouragement. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. I can read. Thank you. The context here, again, is Peter is writing to those that are suffering and hurting. They are the new believers. They are going through challenges, and he's telling them how they should live in light of that. And here's two opening principles for us. Number one, have the mind of Christ towards people, including your children. Peter keeps reminding them that even when people mistreat you, you are to take the mind of your master, Jesus, who he himself suffered for doing good. So we shouldn't be surprised how that happens to us, and we must continue rather to repay evil with evil, instead of that, to bless even when someone mistreats us, including our kids. Because our kids be mistreating us. Can I get an amen out there? And we are called to then bless them even when mistreated. And put it in your own context, people at work, people in your family, whatever it may be. The question is not, will I get offended by the people in my life? The question is, what will I do when I get offended? Will I bless or will I curse? Jess and I, my wife, love this quote about parenting. Don't make your primary goal getting your kids to obey. Make your primary goal responding in the fruit of the Spirit, no matter what. And that applies to all aspects of your life, all aspects of your life, and every relationship in your life. Change the goal from trying to change the person that might be mistreating you to you responding in the fruit of the Spirit. And it leads to the second principle. When you bless those who have wronged you, you inherit heavenly blessing. That's what the scripture says. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. When you repay evil with evil, you rob yourself of the blessing. You lose it. I'm sure you've lived there before. You start getting what's called bitterness in your heart. You start getting unforgiveness in your heart. And you yourself become cut off from what God wants for you. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been there before? I have. I know what it's like to be letting things fester in you rather than choosing to bless those who wrong you and walking in the unshakable blessing of heaven. There is a light of God that you are meant to walk in that no one can take from you. No circumstance can rob you of that. And that is what I desire, and that's what God desires for us based on what he's telling us here in our word. Let's finish the text beginning in verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Let me read that again. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That's what this is all about. In our parenting and in our interactions with people, we are not meant to respond to what they do. We are meant to revere Christ in our hearts and love people the way Christ has demonstrated for us. Here's the principle number three. Revere Christ as Lord by doing right regardless of outcomes. Don't do right just to try to get the outcomes you want. Do right because you revere Christ. And by doing that, your joy stays intact regardless of the outcome. It's entirely different. And with that, I'm going to invite three of the best moms that I know, Jessica Kolar, Heather Houlay, and Yadira Barajas, up to the front. Can you give them a hand as they join me? So what we're going to do for the rest of this message is a panel. And as I mentioned, it's not just on motherhood. It will be on motherhood, but it will apply to many areas of your life. So let's start with simple introductions. Jessica, I honor you on Mother's Day. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. Tell us your name. Tell us a little bit about your kid's situation. And tell us one interesting thing about you that we might be surprised by.
Okay. So my name is Jessica. And Nathan is married to me. I always say that I'm the pastor's wife, but he is married to the pastor's wife, just so you know. Yeah. I have four kids. I have three daughters and then a son. And my girls are 16, 13, and 10. And my son is 7. And you said parenting situation.
That was it.
Oh, just that. Okay. It's crazy at my house at all times. And then a interesting fact. I don't think there's much that people would be surprised by, but I can stick my big toe in my mouth and my second and third toe up my nostrils at the same time. So I won't demonstrate it because, you know, it's like we're live. Maybe ask me after service. I might show you.
Just kidding.
Okay, the other one. So she shared that spontaneously in first service, and we decided to share it again because it is funny. And I will say, take my word for it, it is true. And this is your pastor's wife. She sits at home and discovers if she can do things like that or not. And all three of her daughters are in the front row right now, hanging their head down. Go ahead, Yadi and Heather.
Hello, my name is Yadira Barajas, and I thank God this is there is only two services. I have two sons, Oscar and Samuel, 30 years and 22. And I like sometimes just when I cook or in my kitchen, just take a towel and start singing and dance. Yeah.
It's good. My name's Heather. We have three boys, and the youngest is a girl. They're 23, 16, 13, and 10. And a fun, you caught us off guard with that in the first service. A fun fact about me is that when my kids were little, they're going to be embarrassed when I say this, but I used to rhyme and make rap songs around their name. And they still don't remember them today because I remind them of them. But yeah, that's a fun fact.
First service really tried to get Heather to share one of those raps with us. Do we want that today?
Listen, I will tell you, I'm not on the worship team for a reason. I stay in my lane, and I will not be rapping for you this morning.
Anything is possible. Let's hold on to hope till the end of this service. She did raise a young rapper. Kick writes incredible songs and rap songs that I've heard online. You didn't know you had those roots of hip-hop from your mom. Okay, let's go into some of these questions. We're going to talk about how to endure. We're going to talk about intentionality in our parenting and in our life. Let me start with you, Jessica. When you feel overwhelmed or like you're failing, what truths do you come back to?
So basically, every day of my life, that's how sometimes I feel overwhelmed and like I'm failing. I tend to be a pretty harsh critic to myself. But I mean, it's just overwhelming. No matter what stage and like where you are in life, life just feels overwhelming. It does, which is why Jesus is so important. Especially in the early days of when my motherhood journey, there was the truth that I had to come back to all the time was just that everything I did it for the Lord. There's a lot of things that I would do. There's a lot of laundry, and there's a lot of cooking, and there's a lot of cleaning, and there's a lot of just the same things over and over and again, and there's not a lot of progress to be seen. It just like resets and everything, just like again, and it's like Groundhog Day every day with all the things that we have to do, and it can get pretty overwhelming. And so remembering that truth that everything I do is unto the Lord. This isn't for my kids. This isn't for my husband. This isn't for other people. This is all worship unto Jesus. So, you know, I can remember moments when Nessa was very good at dumping like so many things out. I don't know what it was about the dumping of things out. It is a gift. But just the amount of spaghetti noodles and Cheerios that I've had to goldfish everywhere. And I remember one time being like, I can't believe I have to clean this up again. And then the Lord reminded me, like, do everything as unto me. And I'm like, this is worship unto the Lord, every Cheerio. And when you're in that posture, it's a lot harder to get as frustrated at people when you're doing it unto the Lord. And so that's one of the first truths. And the second thing that helps me is there is a truth that I had learned from a resource that I love to share. It's called Connected Families. If you've had never heard of it, it really changed a lot of how I parent. But one of the things that I had learned through them was just that my kids are not my report card. Jesus Christ is. And a lot of times in those overwhelms and when you don't know what to do and they're being crazy, I just have to remember that it's all because of Jesus. And no matter what, like that, you know, it's not my kids who are my report card. It's him. And then lastly, and this happens occasionally from time to time. It wasn't just one instance, but we were rushing around trying to clean the house because somebody was coming over. That's one of the only reasons why I'm cleaning. And I went to go clean the bathroom, and the kids had gone in and had completely destroyed it. I think you guys remember you like wrote things on the mirror in lipstick. I don't know why. I think you saw something on YouTube like, oh, you are beautiful. I'm like, I love the encouraging note, but please don't ever do this again. And I remember walking in and just being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. You guys are making this so much harder for me. And one of the thoughts I had was just like, why can't you just make it easier for me? And in that moment, God stopped me and he said, it is not their job to make this easier for you. It is my job to make this easy for you. And, you know, their job is to just be here and to be loved by you. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you need to lean in me in these moments. And I'm, you know, I'm the one to make it easier. And it was really profound and it really changed a lot how I think. I also thought in that moment, well, God, are you going to help me clean this bathroom? But he did. You know, he gave me the strength and the endurance to go on and go through that. So those are some things that I think through help me in those moments.
That is a great picture, us saying, God, are you going to help me with this very practical thing after confronting me? And then he's like, my grace is sufficient for you. Go do it. And that is how God treats us, and his grace is sufficient. That was a great point, Jess. A bunch of those were, but the idea that we should say to the kids, you're not making this easier for me, and then God reminding us that God is the one who gives us the easy yoke and the light burden, not our kids. And that's looking to get something from our kids that they're not meant to try to give to us. It's really kind of putting them in the place of what God can only do for us. And I love this quote that my dad taught me as a kid. You either love people and give them room to grow or you want something from them. Two different things. And so it's a powerful way to be careful with how we're thinking about our kids. Are we trying to get from them or are we loving them and giving them room to grow, which is a different posture. Yadira, can you speak to that same question when you feel overwhelmed and like you're failing? What truths do you come back to?
Well, when I was thinking about this question, just was thinking about my humanity, that I'm a human and I can fail every day. As a mom, I can love my children, but I still fail. And in those days, I'm reminded that Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you, for the, my power is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah. So good, Yadi. Thank you. And Heather, let me add another piece to this. How do you maintain joy? How do you maintain joy, the joy of the Lord, as a mom and just in your life in general?
Yeah, so I always take everything back to Scripture. And for me, one of the verses that I love is Psalm 118:24 that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Emphasis on I will rejoice and be glad in it. When I was a young mom, I used to, for several years, I would post a little thing on Facebook every day as an encouragement to myself and others with that scripture. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I find great joy in. And it could be something as simple as Oreo cookies. or running water, you know, the smile on my husband's face, like whatever, you know, that there is something always to find joy in and that our joy comes from the Lord. It's not from circumstantial things. It's not from material things. And that no matter what we go through or what our day looks like, there is always a place to find joy and take it back to the Lord with that joy.
So good. Mm-hmm. That's great, Heather. And I don't know about you, but Oreos brought me more joy when I was younger because they didn't affect my body so much. These days, they provide very temporary joy and then immediate regret. So I do thank the Lord for them, but I need him to change my metabolism back. Let's go into some just practical and intentional things. Jessica, what are some rhythms or practices that have helped you intentionally raise your kids to know and follow Jesus? And let me just say for everyone here, these will also be some rhythms and practices of how we can all know and follow Jesus.
It's funny thinking about rhythms and practices because I tend to not have like a steady rhythm. I'm not a steady rhythm kind of person. I'm just sort of all over the place rhythm. I guess you could call it survival mode. We're just trying to get to tomorrow. But I do try to intentionally think through some things. But we, I was going to say, well, you don't have a lot of structure, but we do have God just woven all through our lives, like in what we do. And we really, when we dedicate babies here, we talk about the Deuteronomy 6 chapter. And if you're not familiar with it, it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. And I like this next part too, that we don't always say, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. As somebody who, pretty sure I have ADHD, tying them to my hands and wearing them on my forehead is necessary for me to remember. I write a lot of notes on my hand too. But we do this. We have scriptures on our walls. I post little note cards around our house. We're talking with our kids on the way to school about God. We're talking with our kids when we're eating dinner. We're talking with them about God when we're going to bed. We're just weaving God into the conversations like all through the day. So even though it's not like a, you know, 7:30 p.m. Bible study in our living room type of situation, that's not going to happen in our house. Just letting you guys know, people just start screaming at each other. And I'm like holding people down. You will listen to the word of God. So after, you know, one or two failed attempts, we just, let's just like little jabs here and there. I mean, it's important that, you know, we're showing them rhythms in our life, but sometimes it's just whatever season you're in, you got to just make it work. Whatever works, make it work. And so inserting God into those different places, you know, when the kids are buckled in the car, that's a great time to talk about God because they can't run away. So I did that with Nathan just in conversations that he doesn't want to have with me. Long car rides, lock the door, let's go. And he's like, oh, great. Very practical. But then the other thing that is a rhythm that we have is just getting on one of our highest goals is just getting our kids into the presence of God. And that can be at home, but a big part of that is the rhythm of church and the rhythm of meeting together here on Sundays, the rhythm of getting them to, you know, just where's God's presence? Let's get them there. And so that's how I grew up. I grew up, the opportunities we had to be in church, it was a worship night, revival night, whatever. It's just like, let's get there. We got to get our kids into the presence of God because in his presence, that's where they're changed. And so we invite God's presence into our homes and we try to create an atmosphere of his presence there, but also the doors are open, like get here. You know, get into his presence here. So that's been, you know, a huge part.
You know, Jess rightly says we are not highly structured with every day looking exactly the same. It's part of the reality of our life, and we're both kind of wired like that. Neither of us are super rigid with schedules, but it's funny hearing you say that our actual lives, if you think of the direction and the choices that we make being in a constant stream, everything in our lives is very rhythmically oriented towards Christ in all things. It really is. Like, there's a difference. Don't think of it as we're just scattered around, we're doing nothing intentionally. She's talking about like a daily repeated schedule. But think about your annual calendar, think about our monthly calendar, think about what we do every day before school, in the evenings at dinners, how we think of our family nights, how we think of our travel together, how we think of approaching significant things with the kids. Build into all of those rhythms God's word and times of prayer, all of it. All of it, all of it. And we're very strong with our kids, not heavy-handed, but we're like, this is our church. We're doing this together. We're going to be here together. We get our kids in things like, we have conventions, we have kids camps, we have youth stuff, we have kids ministry, youth ministry. We have tons of stuff. And we're always going to lean in it and say, what we've always said to the kids is, this is something we're doing together. And you can engage other places, and that's great, but we're doing this together, and it's created this really powerful, it's like we're in the river of God together going one direction. I just wanted to give that clarification, but neither of us do have that personality. I remember my parents trying to get me at Bible studies as a kid. I grew up in a pastor's home as well, and when I was around 12 or so, I was very uninterested in that, and I was the oldest kid, and so I really disappointed them when I did this, but they were trying to get us down for a Bible study, and I was just not having it. They had given me this nice Bible, and I kind of pushed it back over to them. I said, what if I don't even want to be a Christian? I'm not staying here, and I walked out. And they chose to not freak out on me, which takes discipline as a parent. They were, I'm sure, very frustrated. Now, I know the posture of a parent, especially if your oldest is doing that. Novi has not done that. I don't mean to look at you. Novi has not done that. But you're looking for them to help set the tone for the rest of your family. And I was just utterly failing during that season of my life over and over and over again. My parents, if they would have responded to me apart from the grace of God, I probably would have become your classic rebellious pastor's kid. And this would have been, I'm out. But they never did that. They locked arms with me. They wanted me to talk to them about it. They walked with me in the grace of God before I understood it or even knew I needed it. And we're called to do that as parents. And those rhythms, even if the kids are rejecting some of them, help us to go that direction. Yadi, can you speak to that? What are some rhythms or practices that have helped you intentionally raise your kids to know and follow Jesus?
Yeah, over time I have seen if I practice following Jesus first, it is the best example I can give as a mom to them to follow Jesus. Yeah, just walking in the truth of God and his word and try to doing my best. Sometimes, a lot of times, I can fail, but try to do better next time and just put God first in my life. Yeah. And they can see that. Yeah. And they can follow Jesus. Just maybe not like me, but better. Mm. Yeah.
Such a profound statement from Yadi. We first follow Jesus. And that's the most important thing we can do in any kind of parenting or any kind of influence we want to have in life is us first be in Christ, and then that's what flows out of us. So powerful. Heather, can you share a little bit about pivoting here, thinking about the future of your kids and also just the future of your own life? And, you know, we think about the direction the world is headed. We also think about grandkids. What gives you hope as you think about the future and even your children's future?
I think the thing that gives me the greatest hope is to know that God loves my kids more than I could ever fathom. Yeah. And I love my kids a lot. Like, yeah. I'm a little bit obsessed with them. Yeah. I love being a mom and I love my kids. But he loves them more than I do, and he also loves me. And the Bible teaches us that for those who walk with integrity, he keeps no good things from his children. And I just want to share a couple scriptures on that, actually. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." Psalm 34:10 says, "Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." And so when I put my hope in God and knowing how he cares for my children, which if it's more than me, like I can't, it's like, it's supernatural. It's like more than I can imagine. Then I have nothing to fear or worry about. And I always say, like, we do the best we can with what we have and we leave the rest to God. And we find that hope in him of tomorrow. He's already in tomorrow. He's already in the result of anything we might walk through. And to trust him in that hope and like, not a hope, like, you know, I hope it stops raining today, or I hope this restaurant is open today, or I hope. It's like wishful thinking hope, you know? It's like hope as in confidence and without doubt that God is caring for my children and that he will keep nothing good from them.
That's great. The difference between wishful thinking hope,
yeah,
versus confidence in the Lord hope.
Yeah.
Powerful. Jessica, how has the gospel changed the way you view success in life and motherhood?
Success has changed for sure just because of motherhood, like not even touching the gospel part of it. You know, with your, I don't know what your, some of your other mom's experiences might have been, but with the first kid, like the bar is set pretty high and then you realize you just like can't get there. So by kid number two, you just like lower it, you know what I mean? And then kid number three, it gets like so low that it's like dragging on the ground. And then when I had kid number four, I just chucked it in the trash. I was like, yeah, there's no bar anymore. We're just out here doing it. But in light of the gospel, I mean, that changes, really changes everything. And I'm not a perfect mother. I need the gospel. And my kids, they're cute for survival, but they're not perfect. And my kids need the gospel. They need it. And so success in motherhood, to me, in light of that, knowing that I need the gospel and that they need the gospel, is just that I am going to, it's funny, I tell our kids this all the time. I said, I don't, like in schools or even in our family, I don't want you to be the best student. I just want you to be the best you there. Like in our family, I don't want you to be the best kid. I just want you to be the best you in this family. And so I have to extend that grace to myself, that I don't have to be the best mom. I just need to be the best mom that God created me to be. And obviously, like what Yadi said, in his weakness, or in my weakness, sorry, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so, yeah, it's just to do my best to love my kids and then to just get them in the presence of God. So that, to me, if I do that, then the rest is just up to him. The rest is up to him. And our prayer is that our kids would have a heart after God. And the thing that that your dad taught you and that we're now saying to our kids is that if you please God, then you please me. So if that's what we're sowing into them, then I just have to trust God with the results. I said earlier, I sow the seed and the fruit is up to the Lord. And so that's just where I have to leave it. And so if at the end of our days, if I look back and those things I can say that's true, then I'll feel like that I had success.
Can I see your paper real quick? Your print is so small. I know this is a theme today. I would really...
I can't see far away.
Yeah. Right, right. Perfect team. It is so powerful to realize your kids need the gospel. Your spouse needs the gospel. It changes my interactions with Jessica, her interactions with me, when we remember we are cherishing Jesus together and what Jesus has done for her, what Jesus has done for me, and we want to champion that. It changes how we treat each other. It changes how you treat your kids. Yadi, can you speak to that as well? How has your view of success changed because of the gospel?
Yes. Pastor, I'm sorry, but can I go back to the
yes,
last question?
Please, that please, yeah.
I didn't do this in the first service, but your question was, what gives you hope as you think about your children's future? I have here that I remember a time when I had to release my sons to the Lord. I have only two, so just like Moses' mom released him in the river. And that gives me hope, and their future is in his hands. Both of them like to do mission trips. And I remember one day I need to release them in God's hands. I don't know if a mom here had to release children in God's hands. It's so difficult, and it's not easy to do, but I think it's necessary for our lives. Like a mom, we find peace when we release our children in God's hands. And in the next question that you say, how the gospel changed the way in my life. The gospel changed everything in my life. So if he is merciful with me, I can show mercy to my kids. If he forgive me, I can forgive my kids. If he shows me grace, I can give grace to my kids. If he is patient with me, I can be patient with my kids. This changed my life because God did this for me first. So true success is giving my sons what God gives me.
And that leads perfectly. So good, Yadi. You should write a book. That leads perfectly to this question for Heather, because Yadi just articulated so well, we're empowered to give to our kids what he gives to us. But it means that it's really important that we stay in the posture
of receiving from God, and that can be really hard. So Heather, what does it look like to receive God's grace when you feel like you don't deserve it?
That's good. So I think that moms carry a big weight, and if we feel like we've messed up, it can be a heavy weight. And I've seen it just over the years with mom's ministry where it can almost turn into like a self-loathing type thing and a pity party for me type thing. And we don't have to worry, right? And Yadi alluded, or she shared this verse earlier about God's grace is sufficient. And I believe that when we don't receive it, it's a sin because he gives it to us and we don't receive it. 2 Corinthians 12:9, again, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And when I was a younger mom, well, I wasn't younger at mom ever. when my kids were younger, we went from 1 to 3 within 6 months. Our oldest came to live with us at the age of 10 in the second half of his fourth grade year, came to us full time. And I became a mom to a 10-year-old, not a kid that I grew with. Like, I had to learn all the things of, like, the school systems and this and that, and just trying to make sure he had everything he needed to be content and happy and joyful and all the things. And then Kit came shortly after that, just a couple of months later. And so I was in a season of, like, I really hope I'm not messing this all up. And just relying on the Lord for this and knowing that, you know, maybe there were days I didn't get everything done that I thought I should get done, or I should have done it different, or I didn't get to read a book to this kid, but I read a book to this kid, you know, all those things. And to be able to receive God's grace and his mercy for me was huge. To be able to say, like, you know what, I trust you, God. I always say we have a choice to either trust God or not. It's really that simple. We trust him or we don't. I choose to trust him. And in that, I don't have to worry. I do the best I can with what we have and, you know, give the rest to God and love them well. I always say you can never spoil your kids with too much love. Not things, but love. And love them well. And I also believe that there's another aspect to that. You know, we talk a lot about dads, earthly dads, and then, you know, your heavenly father. But there is a mother heart to God that we as mothers get to show that love of God to our children. And in that, once we are able to truly surrender and receive that grace from God, we're able to extend that grace to our kids. If there's one thing I remember growing up is that my mom gave a lot of grace, especially when I was older and went through some of the things that I went through with my history and recovery. She extended a lot of grace to where I was just like really thankful for that. You know, even with little things with my kids, you know, if something breaks or something spills, it's like, it's okay. We clean it up. It's okay. It was just a material thing. We can't take it to heaven. Like, things are meant to be used. Like, just being able to extend that grace in small things, but then it's easier to extend it in big things when big things happen too, and to be able to walk them through that.
So good, Heather. And we don't talk about this enough, but part of the image of God is only expressed through women, and specifically also motherhood. And so be encouraged with that. It's also why we need the gifts on women's lives so much in the church. Can I get an amen to that? So important. That was a really weak amen. We need the gifts that God has on women's lives and moms' lives in the life of the church. Amen? It's a really big deal, and it's part of the image of God to us and understanding who he is. To close out, and Heather, maybe kick us off, what are some final words that you would speak, if you could, directly to every mom or woman or even man listening today? That would be an encouragement, but maybe specifically moms, and we'll feel the residual encouragement.
Sure. So being a mother is one of the highest callings that you could have. And as I shared earlier during announcements, whether you came to that title by birth, adoption, fostering, mentoring, spiritual mentor, maybe a prayer warrior, it's one of the highest callings. And sometimes in the mundane, we can feel unseen, and to be remembered of El Raha, the God who sees It's a name of God, and he sees you right where you're at, no matter where you are at. And to just cherish that title and that role that God has gifted you with. I've said it's one of my favorite roles to be able to have. And I'm also, I know that I'm probably in the minority with this, but I'm not real big on self-help books. And when I was, before I had Christian, the first that I birthed, I remember sitting and reading. Someone had given me a copy of What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I just remember I started reading it, and I just remember closing it and thinking, God, you have everything that I need, and how important it is to seek him and his face and ask him for wisdom, and he will give you what you need. He's everything that we need is in his word. Everything that we need is in his word. And all the other stuff, changing diapers and these little things, they're going to come. Every kid's different. You're going to learn. But everything we need is in God's word. Seek him. Ask him for wisdom. That's what he wants. He wants to give us his wisdom. And I'm not saying there's not some good books out there, but I'm just not a self-help book reader. And the Bible is the best self-help book we could ever find. So seek his face and seek his wisdom. You are doing a good work, moms. You are doing holy work. Be proud of yourself for that.
Thank you, Heather. That's great. Yadi, can you share how you would encourage people directly before we go?
Yes, thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity that you gave me. And I give you, I would like to just give thanks to everybody here too in Graceland. It's our church, and even if I'm Hispanic and my English is not my first language, I just being here, but it's a blessing for me and my family. Thank you. Thank you, Heather, for giving me the opportunity also to work in mom life, even if she knows how I speak. But
can I just say real quick, Yadi was my mentor this year in mom life, and she has so much wisdom, and it's been amazing to have you as my mentor this year.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's all him. And this morning, well, actually yesterday, my son Samuel said, told me, Mom, you got this. And I say, okay, if you say so, right? I just told him that I'm going to do it for you. I love you. I love my two sons and so much. And this is not easy for me to do it, but if it's my example that give him brave, to be brave, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm going to do it. And, I love you, Samuel. And I just want to say to the moms, don't give up. Don't lose faith. Sometimes you will have to be strong and brave. Enjoy being the mom for your kids. Sometimes you lose that true mom. Enjoy your kids. Every season, every age is different. Just enjoy them. And try to do everything unto the Lord, and you will surely see a reward.
Thank you, Yadi. Beautiful.
I actually forgot that we were going to be asked this question until this morning when Nathan reminded us that he was asking. So I didn't get to think that much about it, but I felt like God had just given me just two simple things, but, you know, sometimes simple can also be profound. So just what I would share is to mom out there is that you are not alone. You're not alone. What you may be going through, you're not the only one who has gone through this. There's somebody out there, and the enemy wants to make you think that you're alone and wants to isolate you. And I've walked through times like that myself, where I like hard seasons. And Nathan, I think you've talked pretty openly about us walking through miscarriage. But we actually had two miscarriages, but the first one I had was between my two older daughters. And at that point in my life, I had never met or known somebody that had walked through that. And so it felt like a very lonely thing that I was walking through. And we just so happened to, well, we did the thing where you announce it and then you gotta like take it back, which was like really hard. So people knew publicly that we were expecting. And then of course that we had lost the baby. And because we had shared, somebody that was very close to that I looked up to in my life, it was actually the pastor's wife that I grew up going, my pastor from growing up, his wife. And I had never known this about her. I should never shared it publicly. But she had walked through two miscarriages before she had her three children. And she reached out to me and just encouraged me. And it was so powerful to know that I wasn't alone in that pain. And it encouraged me so much because I thought to myself, if Kelly, who is such a great woman of faith, can walk through something so hard and get through it and see the other side of it, then I can do it too. And so, first of all, like to encourage you to share your story, but also if you're in the middle of struggle, like don't do it alone, because this family, this Graceland Church family, will wrap their arms around you and will support you no matter what it is. So don't listen to the lie that you're alone or that nobody will understand. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that I wanted to just encourage was that you are exactly who God made you to be, and you are the number one mom for your kids, and that God knew that when he gave you those kids, they're your kids for a reason. And so no matter the times that you might feel like you fall short or you're not getting it, like you are the woman for the job. You are the person for the job, for your life, for anybody who God created you to be, like that you are you for a reason, and to walk in that and to trust that God will lead you.
Amazing. Thank you, all three of you. Awesome moms, awesome women after God's heart. Thank you for serving us on Mother's Day, too, and being here for two services. Can we give them a giant hand for blessing us? You guys can take your seat. Come on, really, let's thank them, church. Worship team, can you come up? Church, can you close your eyes with me and bow your heart? We just want to respond to the Lord and just take a few minutes before we leave. I want to acknowledge something that we've alluded to, and that is that there's also, along with joy on Mother's Day, there's a lot of hurt. And James and Samuel and some of the team had the sense, even at the beginning of the service, that God wanted to heal those with broken hearts, wanting you to know you're not alone. And by the way, even just practically, like Jessica just said, it's the enemy that tries to get us to suffer alone. And it's just a common tactic. And he wants you to think you're alone in the battle. There's something uniquely wrong with you. And we're here to tell you there's not. You're beautifully and wonderfully made by your Creator. And he's with you and he's for you. And you can call on him about everything going on in your life. Even tears that you might shed today. Maybe you lost a mother. Maybe you've gone through pain and thinking about children or birthing children. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you have a broken relationship. I pray that the tears that you cry, you would also understand are prayers to the living God. And like Heather said, may your tears not just be kind of wishful thinking hope, or sadness or discouragement, but may your tears be tears of trust in God. Just reframe those tears. God, I'm crying, I'm hurting, and I'm suffering, and grieving is a part of following Jesus. But God, may these tears be declarations of my trust in you, even when I feel like I can barely get a prayer out. God, bless my friends, every person in the house. Comfort them with the nearness of your Holy Spirit, in the way that only you can. And if you're around a mom today, if your mom is near you, can you just lay a hand on her? God, we pray for these mothers.
we so often neglect to just bless them. So right now we bless our moms. Come on, just say, you are highly favored and blessed by God. All the promises of God are true for you. His grace is enough for you to do everything he has called you to do. He will give you every bit of help you need. He has ordained your steps up until this moment, and regardless of whatever task you're facing, you are loved, you are appreciated, and God is with you. There is victory in your life as a mom because of Jesus, because of the grace of God. I pray you stand on the solid rock. You have not been perfectly solid as a mom, but you stand on the solid rock. Come on. God, I pray faith will rise in the house, that every mom would be encouraged, lifted, oh God. Strengthened for the task at hand, appreciated, loved, and valued, a hero in the kingdom of God. Lord, if there's any here that don't know you yet, we pray that they would come to know you right here today. Jesus, we call on you and we put our faith in you.